Chandelin unfolded his arms and spoke softly. They fear magic, and they wish us to stop speaking with our ancestors.
Kaelin squeezed his shoulder. That's right. But more than that, they think it's their duty to the spirits they worship to kill you all. They're on a mission to destroy all who have magic because they think magic is evil. They believe people like you have magic.
She met Chandelin's eyes.
If they are not killed to a man, like the Jacopo, sooner or later they will come and destroy the Mud People, just as they destroyed the city of Ebenicia.
The three men studied the ground and thought. She waited for them to weigh her words. Chandelin at last spoke.
And they would kill the other people? Those who wish not to have outsiders come to them, to live alone like the Mud People?
They would. I spoke with the men of that army. They are like crazy men. They sound as if they have been visited by evil spirits, like the Bantak did, like the Jacopo. They will not listen to reason. They think we are the ones who listen to evil spirits. They will do as they promise. You saw the city they destroyed and the size of the army defending it. It is not an empty threat. I must get to Aedendrill so I can raise an army to fight these men. The counselors should already be doing that, but I must get there to make sure the extent of the threat is known, to make sure all of the Midlands join together in this. But there are no forces at hand to fight these men now except these boys. There are cities that will be destroyed before help can arrive. Worse, the threat these men pose will convince some to join with them. Some see honor as an inconvenience and will side with the army they think will win. This will swell their ranks further. Before Aedendrill can send troops to find and defeat these men, many will die. We must call upon these boys to join the fight now, before more innocent people are slaughtered. These boys volunteered to become fighters, like you, to protect their people, the people of the Midlands. We must help them in this. We must not let this army of evil men escape to wander the Midlands, killing and destroying, and winning more to their side. We must begin the battle with these boys. Help them, show them, to make sure they will know how to fight, and to know they will continue without us to lead them. We must lead them into the first battle, to give them confidence in the ways we teach them, before we can be on our way to Aedendrill.
Chandelin gave her a level look.
And you will call the lightning to help us?
No, Kaelin whispered. I tried last night, but it didn't come. It's difficult to explain to you, but I believe that because I invoked this special magic on behalf of Richard, it will not work except to protect him. I'm sorry.
Chandelin unfolded his arms.
Then how did you kill so many?
Kaelin patted his arm where the bone knife was.
The same way as your grandfather taught your father, and he you. I did not do as they expected. I did not fight their way.
The two brothers leaned in intently as she spoke.
They like to drink, and when they're drunk they don't think so well, and they are slow.
Tossidan pointed behind with a thumb.
These men, too, like to have drink at night. They have a wagon of it among their supplies. We would not let them have any. Some were angry. They said it was their right.
Kaelin shook her head.
These boys also thought it would be right to march right up to an enemy who outnumbers them 10-1 and have a battle in broad daylight. We must help them in this. We must teach them what to do.
They do not like to listen.
Prindon glanced back over his shoulder at the men he had been trying to teach.
They wish always to argue. They say, this is the way it is done, and we must do it so. They are filled only with the way they were taught, and do not like to be told another way.
Yet that's what we must do, Kaelin said. We must lead them in the way that will work. That's why I need you three. I need you to help me in this, or many people, including eventually the Mud People, will die. I need your help in this. I must lead them into battle.
Chandelin stood mute and unmoving. The two brothers pushed snow with their feet, considering. Prindon finally looked up.
We will help. My brother and I will do as you ask.
Thank you, Prindon, but it's not you who must decide. Chandelin must be the one who agrees. It is for him to decide.
The two brothers took sidelong glances at him as he stood glaring at her. At last, he let out an exasperated breath.
You are a stubborn woman. You are so stubborn you will get killed if we three are not there to bring some reason to your head. We go with you to kill these evil men.
Kaelin sighed with relief.
Thank you, Chandelin. She bent and took up a handful of snow, using it to scrub the dried blood from her face. Now I must go and tell these boys what they must do. She shook the snow from her hands when she had finished with her face. Did you three get any sleep last night?
Some, Chandelin said.
Good. After I speak with them, I need to get a few hours' sleep. You can begin showing them how to travel without their wagons. We must teach them to be strong, like you. We will begin the killing tonight?
Chandelin gave a grim nod. Tonight.
Chapter 40. Kalin climbed atop a wagon before the assembled men. They stood in brown wool coats, packed tightly together before her in the gray morning light. Captain Ryan, with his two lieutenants flanking him, stood at the front of the men. He leaned an arm on the wagon wheel, waiting. Kalin looked out at all the young faces. Boys. She was about to ask boys to die. But what choice did she have?
Dear mother,
she wondered.
Is this the reason you chose Wyborn as my father? To teach me what I am about to do?
I'm afraid I have only one bit of good news for you, she began in a quiet voice that carried through the cold air, out over the faces all watching her. And so I will give you that first, to give you courage for the other things I have to tell you. Kalin took a deep breath. Your queen was not killed in Ebenicia, nor did the men who attacked the city find or capture her. Either she was away when the attack came or she escaped. Queen Cirilla lives. The boys seemed to take a deep breath, as if hoping she wouldn't add anything more, and then they erupted in wild cheering. They threw their arms in the air, shaking their fists at the sky. They yelled and hooted with joy and relief. Kalin stood in her blood-soaked wolf mantle, her hands at her sides, letting them have their time of celebration and hope. Some of the boys, forgetting for the moment that they were soldiers, hugged each other. She watched tears of happiness run down many a cheek as men leapt and shouted. Kalin stood feeling small and insignificant as the mob of boys poured out their adoration for her half-sister. She couldn't bring herself to halt their rejoicing. At last, Captain Ryan climbed up onto the wagon next to her. He held his arms up, calling for silence.
All right, hold it down. Stop acting like a bunch of children in front of the Mother Confessor. Show her what men you be.
The cheering finally died out, to be replaced by grins and bright eyes. Captain Ryan clasped his hands together and cast her a somewhat sheepish look before taking a couple of steps away atop the wagon to give her room. The people of Ebenicia, she went on in the same quiet tone, were not so fortunate. The winter silence became brittle. Light breezes rustled icy branches on the trees ascending the slopes to either side of the flat valley pass holding their camp. The grins withered. Every one of you, at the least, had friends who were murdered there. Many of you had loved ones, family who died at the hands of the men a few hours up this pass. Kalin cleared her throat and swallowed as her eyes found the ground. I, too, knew people who died there. Her eyes came up.
Last night, I went to their camp to discover who they were and if they could be called upon to return to their homelands. They have no intention of doing anything but conquering all the lands and putting them under their rule. They have vowed to kill everyone who refuses to join them. Ebenicia refused.
The boys shouted and shook their fists. They themselves, they said, would bring an end to the threat. She spoke over their words, bringing them to silence as she did so.
The men who slaughtered your countrymen and countrywomen are called the Imperial Order. They fight on behalf of no country or land. They fight to conquer all lands and to rule all lands. They answer to no government, to no king, to no lord, to no council. They believe themselves to be the fountain of law. They are made up mostly of Daharan men, but others have joined them. I saw among them Keltons.
Waves of angry whispers swept back through the crowd. Kalin let it go on for a moment.
I saw also among them men from other lands, and I saw Galleans.
This time, shocked and angry voices called out that it wasn't true and said she was wrong.
I saw them with my own eyes.
They fell once more to silence. She quieted her tone.
I wish that it were not true, but I saw them. Men of many lands have joined with them. More men will join with them if they believe they can be part of the victory, part of the new law, if they believe they can be in on the plunder and awarded positions of authority and power. The city of Celion lies hardly more than a hand of days ahead. The Imperial Order will have their surrender and allegiance, or their death. Other cities, towns, villages, and farms will suffer these men if they are not stopped. Eventually, all will come under their sword. I am going to Aedendrill to marshal the forces of the Midlands against the Imperial Order, but that will take time. In that time, their numbers will swell with those who would think to be on the side of might. Right now, there is no one able to stop these men from killing everyone in their path who resists them. Except you.
Kaelin stiffened her back as she let what she had said sink in, and in preparation for what she was going to tell them next, she let the silence settle once more over the valley.
As the Mother Confessor of the Midlands, and absent the luxury of conferring with the Central Council, I have had to do that which no Mother Confessor for 1,000 years or more has had to do. On my authority alone I have committed the Midlands to war. The army of the Imperial Order is to be killed to a man. No negotiation or compromise will be offered by the Midlands. Under no circumstances will the Order's surrender be accepted. I have given an oath on behalf of the Midlands that no quarter shall be granted.
Astonished faces stared at her.
Whether I live or die, this decree is irrevocable. Any land or people who willingly join with the Imperial Order cast their lot under the shadow of this edict.